He is a singer, songwriter, producer, 4-time Grammy winner, Mexican legend, Pepe Aguilar.
That's a very, very good question, man. Se les pregunto a la gente, oye, ¿cuál es tu objetivo en la vida? Ser feliz. Dije, you're screwed. And look how they're evolving, and at the pace that they're evolving, the music is sounding so different, tremendously different than it was sounding 6 months ago. Definitely. The music that Peso Pluma was doing and Junior H. And
we were a little nervous, and this happened.
Háblame de tú.
Okay.
Si no, voy a sentir más ruquito. Y si estoy...
Yeah.
No, porque ya.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Es que ya. Oh, my God.
Come on,
no.
Angel.
No.
No.
Oh, the yeah.
Ya se olvidó todas mis preguntas.
You're gonna walk off, bro.
No, I'm not. Jimmy, hablaste de fuerza rígida, cabrón, y ya no me volviste a hablar. I became independent since 2000, and I was crucified by the industry because I kind of understood how the system worked and the way it was designed and still is. And it's not designed to help the artists. It's designed to help the industry.
Of course, we had to ask about Nata and Corridos Tumbados, and the interview had to be stopped.
Well, what happened with Nata, you know? It's something that we covered.
I don't mean to burn.
Oh, sorry.
No, can we take...
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another Agush Tumbado podcast. We are here once again at the Spotify Studios with a special guest. He's a singer, songwriter, producer, 4-time Grammy winner, Mexican legend, Pepe Aguilar. Hey. What an honor to have you here.
No, hombre, the contrary, man. Thank you to have me. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for real for taking the time. I want to, like, really say that you're a legend. Cuando les contamos a nuestros papás, que we were excited, right? But we also told our parents, and, like they really were proud and happy and, like, seeing the growth to be able to grow to a place where we get to have you on. And we really appreciate the time and you guys' consideration for that.
No, man. Al contrario, de verdad, truly. The honor is all mine. I'm very happy to be here. And I love that you guys are, you know, so active and creative around communication. That's key right now. So that's pretty cool. I'm happy. Happy to be here. And maybe some of the words that I say will be in Spanish because my English sounds like I have no accent, but it's not very good. Sometimes I forget the words. I think in Spanish all the time. So if I screw up a word or two and I say it in Spanish, you put subtitles.
Cool. Yeah. Subtitles. Yes. Yeah, hablamos español, inglés, un poquito, los dos no muy bien. A veces sí lo hacemos todo en español y nos cuesta un poquito más de trabajo, pero
we're not good at Spanish.
Ah, so we can do Spanish? Sí, podemos
hacer Spanish, yeah, that's our style.
That's what we're known for.
That's cool.
Si lo hacemos pronto en español o inglés, como se siente usted mejor.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Háblame de tú, hermano, porque estoy ruco, pero pues todos somos la misma cosa, nomás en diferente plano. Todos somos different versions of the same thing, so please, háblame de tú.
Okay.
Si no, voy a sentir más ruquito. Y si estoy...
Yeah.
No, porque ya.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. No. Es que ya... Oh, my God.
Come on,
no.
Angel.
No.
No.
All the yeah.
Ya se olvidó todas mis preguntas.
You're gonna walk off, bro.
No, I'm not.
No, es que...
I'm just teasing you guys.
Yo estaba pensando en mi pregunta. Que le iba a decir de cómo siempre está trabajando en algo. Está... Hoy estrenó una canción. Mm-hmm. Está a empezar el nuevo jaripeo.
Mm-hmm.
¿Cómo... ¿Qué lo mantiene trabajando a ese ritmo que ha mantenido por mucho tiempo?
Yo creo que in life what pushes you the most is la necesidad, pues, o sea, en determinado momento when you don't have a choice, you just have to do what you have to do. I became independent since 2000. So I've been 24 years working triple because I don't have a record company to back me up or that staff working year round like a regular artist or a more traditional way of signing an artist would do. So I have to be my own record company, my own publishing company, my own touring company, my own digital team and everything, it's in-house. So you need to work triple, sometimes quadruple, like if you didn't have all those things. So I'm always doing something, whether it's for one of our artists or for me or something, a new project, and we're in all media. We're in audio and video. Audio, not only in songs, like I was telling you guys that I'm going to try and compete with you guys and do a podcast also. And we do blogs, and since we are, like I said, independent artists and entrepreneurs, you have to work a lot more than if you weren't.
Yeah. And you said you made the decision to go independent, a few years back. Why did you make that decision, and what are like the benefits of being independent?
So I've always had a problem with deals that are not fair or relationships that are not fair. I don't know if you like that, but I don't, you know? And ever since I was a young boy in the show business, I saw that it was not a lot of fairness in the deals, that artists were being exploited in a way that didn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of speak out about it, and I was crucified by the industry, and it was tough. I sued the company legally. I had a battle. I lost after 4 years of being in the freezer. They froze me, and it was a very bad, very bad time for me. And I had to come back with even worse conditions, because I've lost, that trial, that first trial. Then I sued them again, and I won. And that's why I became independent, because I kind of understood how the system worked and the way it was designed, and still is in a lot of ways. And it's not designed to help the artists. It's designed to help the industry. Mm-hmm. So that's why I became an independent entity, because no one is going to care for my product more than me. Now, going back to your second question, the benefits of being independent are many, because you own your art. You own whatever it is that you do. You don't give it to somebody else because you sign a contract and they just promote your stuff. No, you keep your stuff, and it become like your artistic assets or your creative assets, like with your podcasts. It's the same thing, so the benefits are many. But like I was telling at the beginning of the question, you have to work triple. You have to work a lot. And I wear many hats. I'm a singer. I'm a producer. I'm a record company owner. I'm a promoter of shows, a creator of shows, a producer of shows. And you have to really focus on each and every one of those things that I just described, because they're a whole universe by themselves. So yeah, I'm kind of a crazy individual to be around. People that get me, they leave me alone. They say, "No, he's not crazy. He's just working." but yeah, I'm jumping from one project to another, and in an hour I do like four different phone calls that don't have nothing to do together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it must have been a crazy journey. So many years independent. Was it a real struggle at first? Do you think to this point, like, you figured it out? Like, well?
No, you never. In my case, I mean, I can only speak about myself. I don't think I will ever get to figure it out, like, completely. There's so much to learn every day. And the more you know, it's like the possibilities of keep on learning expand. The more you know, the plateau to where you arrived it's bigger. Like it's a lot more to learn. It's crazy. It's like a freaking crazy joke of the universe. You know, like you never arrive. There's nowhere to arrive, because if you arrived somewhere, the skill there's another level, and then if you arrive to that level, there's another level. So it's never ending. I guess you as a human, have to decide when to stop. Because if not, you will kill yourself. Work is always going to be there, and you have to decide what's more important for you, what's a priority. You have to decide life over success. But I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I was gonna say you were content, but you know you're still working on a lot of things.
Yeah, I feel. I mean, I'm I don't know how I got to be the age I am, man. I just don't. Life.
¿Por qué lo dice?
Porque la vida pasó bien rápida y me ha arriesgado un friego y no sé cómo llegué a tener 55 años. Pero los tengo. Y gracias a Dios que yo sepa, I'm not sick. I'm still very much like singing the best that I've ever sang. O sea, estoy más imaginativo que nunca. So I don't know. Like life tells you and speaks to you. And if you want to listen to it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But life right now, it's speaking to me, and it's saying through those things that I just told you that I can keep on doing it, yeah, right? Sure. Pero de repente llega un momento que te aferras y dices, a mí ya no puedes cantar igual, ya no puedes montar igual, ya no te ves igual, and you want to keep on doing it. And that's when you start forcing stuff. And you don't have to be old. It could be your podcast, you know? Life is ever changing, and you have to know when to quit,
yeah,
or when to change your path.
You're mentioning all these like amazing things that you've done. How do you find like a balance between, you know, being successful and in your personal life? Or would you say there is even a balance between it?
That's a very, very good question, man. I think there has to be a balance, but in every individual, I guess it's different. In my case, my family is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not okay in that area, all areas in my life kind of get messed up. So, but that's in my case. There are people that care more for their work or their personal whatever than their family, and in my case it's not, it's like, and that can change. I mean, mm-hmm. I can get used to another reality because we are wired for that. If God forbid I have to be without my family in a few years, I'm not gonna die. I mean, I'm gonna change it, my priorities, but right now for me the most important thing is my family. After that, my career, maybe. Like, whoa, like this, you know? They're pretty much the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But por un pelito le gana la familia.
Yeah, and then you mentioned how, like, if you're not okay, like, other parts of, you know, your area, like, they get messed up. Is that a lot of pressure for you?
A lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. I cry a lot. I let all my feelings run through. I don't suppress anything. I learned that you gotta honor whatever is it that you feel, and you gotta differentiate when you're playing the victim and when it's real. Mm-hmm. Because we humans love to play the freaking victim. Oh my God, poor me. Oh my God, I should have had this, I should have done that. Or what, you know, I'm worth more, whatever it is,
El problema es uno a veces.
Normally. O sea, realmente no puedes cambiar nada de la vida más que a ti mismo. Nada puedes cambiar. Not even your dog. They're going to do whatever they want.
Shut up, Gordo.
Maybe you can teach them some tricks and you can show them some routines and they're going to follow that. But eventually, their nature is going to come up on top all the time. So same thing goes for humans. You cannot change anyone. And why would you? You know, why would you want someone to change. I mean, that's not for you to decide. That's for them. It's kind of logical, but we never understand that. There are people my age that don't understand that. People at 70 that don't understand that, that they want to keep on changing their spouse, keep on changing their kids. They don't understand that everybody has their own dharma, which is like their own path in life, and you need to respect that, mm-hmm. right? So, I don't know why I'm saying this, but it sounded deep.
It did.
I'm gonna clip this up.
I mean, from what you're saying, it sounds like you take a deep look at yourself and you find ways to improve it, because for you to admit that, you know, us humans are, we're prone, not prone, but like we make mistakes and we need to learn off of, you know, our actions, yeah. like playing the victim.
Y también siento que, like in our culture, like suppressing the feelings, at least as men, es lo normal, huh? Y no, como usted que dice que, oh, I cry a lot, siento que no muchas personas dirían eso. Do you think that like helped you a lot in life too?
I think so. It helps me release a lot of things that only if you let them fall and go through you, they feel honored, those things and those part of you, and you can move on. Otherwise, pues ahí te van a estar dando lata, man, todo el tiempo. Yo a veces, I meditate, and I highly recommend you guys, if you don't meditate, meditate. It's like going to the gym. Don't see it, I mean, see it however you want to see it, but I would recommend you guys not to see it like something esoteric or religious or no. See it like exercise. I mean, nobody questions if you want to have some abs. They don't say, what is the meaning behind, the psychological meaning behind him wanting abs? No, you just go to the gym. Mm-hmm. You want to be fit. Same thing goes for the brain. Same thing goes for the soul. You have to work at those things. Nothing happens magically. So meditation is really, really helpful for you to step a little outside yourself and kind of have that space to make the moves that you need to make in order to have the life that you want to have. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. How often do you meditate?
I used to meditate every day, mm-hmm. like for 10 years. Lately, I've been behaving badly, or, ¿cómo se dice? Irresponsibly. Mm-hmm. Because it's like not going to the gym. If you're not going to the gym, your body is going to resent that. So if you don't meditate, your mind and your soul are going to resent that. Okay. And then you're going to fall into the freaking game of the ego and everybody's understanding of life, and you're going to try to adapt to something that you're not. So you suffer because of that. Does it make sense?
Yeah, luego se acostumbra uno.
Se acostumbras. Y con la meditada, dices, ah, no, a ver, espérame. No. I see you, victim, yourself, no? I see you're playing this shit. I see, no. A ver, vámonos a hacer lo que tienes que hacer. Come on, let's exercise. Come on, let's work. Come on, let's, don't play the victim. Come on, don't call her, okay? Don't go begging. You know, meditation helps you to see all those areas that you are dealing with that are hard for your life. They, you just get out. ¿Y por qué lo traje? Porque when I say I cry a lot, every time I cry, I which is a lot, I see that moment and that energy with curiosity. O sea, me voy como para arriba, haz de cuenta y digo, why the heck is this guy crying? I see it with curiosity. No me clavo en, oh, my God, I'm suffering. No, lo veo como, where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm. Like trying to understand more?
Yeah. You know, where is this coming from? Y si ya veo, ah, no, pues es el mismo rollo de ser papá y estar preocupado por tus hijos. Ah, bueno, pues me doy a mí mismo compasión, mm-hmm. compassion. Hey, man, you're right. It's tough. Yeah, cry. Go ahead. Échale. ¿no? Y ya se te salen las lágrimas y dices, ya, done. Ok, perfect, ya, a la chingada. Vamos a lo que sigue. Sí, yeah, porque no te vas a quedar clavado ahí, you know, being the victim. Life is tough, man. Whoever tells you different, don't believe it. Because life is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. And it's also going to be beautiful. You're going to be in love, and then you're going to be out of love. And somebody's going to break your heart, and it's going to be, again, it's going to be broke again and again. Or maybe not. And you just have one love, and it's going to be amazing, and then your kids come along. So something is going to happen. And pain, it's part of life. So, siempre que me dicen, se les pregunto a la gente, oye, ¿cuál es tu objetivo en la vida? Ser feliz. Dije, you're screwed.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You sound like a good look with that one.
Y, ser feliz, no, man, porque being happy is part of life. It's just one part of life. Just one.
Like a small percent of life.
Well, it should be like an important percent of life. And of course, happiness is it's part of the human experience. But also, death is part of the human experience. And also, deceit and also lies and also, you know, deceptions and also a whole bunch of things that you don't want to think about. And sickness and betrayals and brotherhood and friendships and really good relationships with people that don't have your blood, because your friends you can choose. That's the family you can choose. Whoa, I'm freaking deep today.
I feel like we're all learning.
Yeah,
we're all learning here.
Yeah. So that's cool.
In turn, I ask you, ¿cuál es tu objetivo en la vida?
Seguir aprendiendo, man. Y tratar de quitarme todos los demonios que todavía traigo. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I need to still work. And that's why I say there's no goal. Like, el camino es el destino. And lo dijo Bruce Lee, lo dijo Gandhi, lo dijo Jesucristo. Todos los pensadores acá, perrísimos. El camino es... That's what it's all about. Minute by minute. Second by second. Yo me acuerdo que decía... Eric Clapton, have you guys heard about that guitarist, Eric Clapton? Okay, he's an old guy. Eric Clapton decía que no se acordaba of 15 or 25. No me acuerdo. There's a five in there. 15 or 25 years of his life. No se acordaba de los conciertos que dio. Mm-hmm. There were like hundreds and hundreds por toda la heroína que se metía. Y todo el alcohol que se metía. Entonces, él se acordaba de las mañanas, pero de las noches ya no.
Nomás amaneció.
Why am I saying this? What a freaking shame that you don't remember 25 years of your life.
True.
What a shame that you were such a huge star and you didn't enjoy it. So my point here is, regardless if you're famous and you have that stature or not, whatever it is that you do in your life, I feel it's better for you if you are conscious every second of every day so you can enjoy what's not coming back.
Yeah.
Because this moment, I mean, the beginning of our conversation 20 minutes ago, it's gone. Mm-hmm. You can rewind it and listen to it again at your podcast, but it's gone. That energy that we had, it's boom, bye-bye. So if you don't cherish the moment, if you don't, you're not aware of it, you're wasting it.
Yeah.
So same goes for your life and when you're eating tacos, you know,
like
when you're taking a shower.
Huh? You're like, enjoy those tacos as much as you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like when you're taking a shower, have you ever stopped and thought about hot water running down and how cool it feels and comfortable and cozy? And we take things for granted, man.
The little stuff, huh?
that little stuff, like a kiss to your mom, those little things make life mm-hmm. worth it. And not the big goals and the Lamborghinis and all that bullshit. You know, that's fine and that's cool and why not? But that's, those things are things. And like, we cannot forget about the small stuff because basically that's where the important stuff lives.
I mean, with you being so successful in your career, has there been a point of your life where maybe you were chasing those things and you forgot about the people around yourself?
Oh, yeah. Like 5 times. Because then I get conscious about it and I stop. And then I go back to sleep and then I go back again. It depends on the level you're at. Like, I was never able to buy a Porsche. You buy the freaking Porsche. And then after a while, you know, this doesn't make me better, a car. So I forget about cars. And then you go somewhere else and you try to look for what it is inside you, which is appreciation for yourself, which is personal growth, which is, you know, enjoying the moment. You try to find like in little things outside, which are not gonna give you that. It's okay to have stuff. I'm not saying don't go and dream about a Lamborghini. That's freaking amazing. Why not? Those things do not make you who you are and do not change everything you need to work on yourself. So you're going to be suffering in a Lamborghini. That's what I'm saying. If you are suffering, you know, you're going to be suffering in a $20 million house. You have to work on yourself. Wherever you're at with your skateboard or your Lamborghini, you're going to be okay.
Oh, wow. So what do you say to people that say like, oh, if I'm going to cry or I'm going to suffer, rather suffer in a Lambo than something
than a
else?
Honda.
What do you tell those people?
I was going to say that.
Yeah, well, they're right, man. I'd rather suffer in a Lambo than somewhere else.
Yeah.
Nah, but you get what I'm saying.
Aspirational things that we all wish for at some point. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with you guys.
Let's go.
All right, guys, we are back from the break. Huge shout out to my boy, Danny. We forgot to give you
Danny,
a shout out.
Thank you so much. We didn't forget. We were just saving you for the best part.
Yeah, but we wanted to talk about the tour, which is kicking off at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Hopefully, we get invited. Are we invited?
You are, of course, you are invited. You are definitely invited. It's Jaripeo hasta los huesos, se llama. Jaripeo to the bones. It's this show that I have, this horse show with my family. But this time it's all about Day of the Dead. So I got myself associated with a guy that works with Cirque du Soleil. Okay.
Oh, really?
And he created all the artwork and the videos and a lot of stuff that we did together based around the Day of the Dead. So that's why it's called Jaripeo hasta los huesos. And we're going to do 20 cities around the U.S. We're going to go from Georgia to California. And it's going to be fun. We changed everything. So people that have seen our Jaripeo before are in for a treat. This is a different show.
Yeah, luckily my parents were able to go to the last one. No pude ir yo. Les pregunté cómo estuvo y les gustó mucho. Siento que había... De lo que me contaron, hay muchas partes del show. Sale, claro, sales tú. y sale Angela and your other son. Sorry for the name.
Leonardo.
I was thinking Fernando. Leonardo and... y salen los... They also told me about the Bulls.
Yeah.
Me dijo que estaban cerquita y que... Like, it was really close. I feel like it was... A big experience, and then also that it wasn't, I feel like it wasn't at a traditional place. It was like it was inside the crypto.
Yep.
I think that's impressive.
Like doing all that in the crypto.
Yeah, I think that's pretty crazy. And they're excited for the new one. Now that you say everything's different.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and it's cool that you mentioned that it's not usual to see a show, a rodeo like that, a Mexican thing, at places like the Crypto or like the Honda Center. But that was one of the ideas that motivated me the most, like to take this tradition and this folkloric background and heritage and show it in the best way possible in the best arenas possible. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea behind it, like to kind of make this Mexican characters look like superheroes, man, you know, because that I believe they are. I have some pre-Hispanic pre-Hispanic dancers, concheros we call them, which are all dressed in black and all their feathers are in black, and they're supposed to be like ritualistic wizards. They're not historical figures, but they're inspired in those characters that used to eat the heart from the sacrifices that they made for the gods.
Yeah.
So right here, nobody's gonna eat anybody's heart. Probably a hot dog, maybe a hot dog or something like that, popcorn. But we're gonna have those concheros and it's a crazy show that I really wish you guys can join us and see it, because it's worth it. It's all about the Day of the Dead, but also from a pre-Hispanic point of view, not only mm-hmm. like Disney, which is amazing what they did with Coco and everything, but that's the more like stereotype thing. Yeah, we're gonna go a little deeper.
And then, vi que con Pepe Garza dijo it was a big, it was a bit, really big challenge to do this. That at some points you thought that you might not be able to do it.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to take on that and maybe not just do like what a lot of other people do? That's just like more regular show. Siento que fue, se ve muy complicado. You know, it worked out, but like, ¿por qué se haría like that so complicated?
I make myself the same question all the freaking time. You know why? Me compliqué la vida. Y esa pregunta me la he hecho anteriormente. Decía, bueno, porque yo normalmente traigo mi mariachi, mi banda, and my rock band. So it's like almost 40 musicians traveling. Y yo siempre me pongo así a pensar, ¿por qué no hice un trío de músicos nada más in my career, man? I would have made a lot more money. But anyway, traigo a muchos músicos. No, pues no sé, tu pregunta, volviendo otra vez, that's a very good question and that I ask myself a lot. I why do I complicate my life so much?
Pues tal vez pensó en innovar.
Pues no. Sí, me gustan los retos, fíjate. Me gustan los retos. El otro día estaba viendo un documental de Diego Armando Maradona. Que se los recomiendo. ¿Les gustan los documentales?
We watch.
Está en HBO.
Okay. Sí, tengo
y HBO. Así se llama Maradona. Y está buenísimo, la verdad. Porque es un tipo súper controversial. And he was saying, you know, not he, but su entrenador, Fernando Signorini, creo que se llamaba, Signorini, no sé. Decía, es que Maradona es muy controversial, pero yo lo entiendo. Dice, lo que lo motiva, lo que más lo motiva es la dificultad, los retos, cuando las cosas son difíciles, cuando la gente te dice que no, cuando la gente te dice, ¿sabes qué? You're not going to be able to do this thing. You don't got what it takes. Cuando la gente duda de ti, dice, ahí es cuando es el mejor Maradona. Y se me quedó muy clavado. Dije, acá, pues yo no soy Maradona, pero a mí también las mismas tarugadas son las que me hacen como que me ir para arriba. Ah, ¿crees que no lo voy a hacer? Really? Ahí te voy, güey. Así, Simón, o sea, es como los retos, cuando las cosas se ponen más difíciles. Yo sé que es cuando más aprendes. Uh-huh. Te lo juro por Dios, es cuando más aprendes. ¿A poco aprendes cuando la cosa va muy bien, en lo que sea en la vida? Y le aprendes a disfrutar, pero le aprendes cuando está mal, le aprendes cuando dices, ay, güey, ¿qué le dije a esta chava que me contestó de esta manera? O, híjole, ¿por qué mi papá se enojó tanto? O ¿Qué onda con esta maestra? ¿Por qué no me entendió? O sea, le aprendes cuando las cosas te van mal.
Or like failing is when you learn.
No. Entonces, yo creo que así en mi vida, cuando algo me falla, yo no digo, ay, ¿por qué me falló? Digo, chido, a ver, ¿dónde le aprendo? Para que no me vuelva a pasar. Y le sigues para adelante. Y este jaripeo, esta historia, ha sido un gran aprendizaje hecho a base de puros esfuerzos y reveses y golpes. Entonces, I've been fascinated.
You're like, I got this light work.
Lo reinventó.
Claro. Y aparte me dio en mi mero, mero mole porque, I, like I said, me gusta and I get motivated when things get tough.
Yeah. And in you going to, you know, all these states and cities, how do you prepare yourself for this long tour?
That's a very good question. Ahorita, por ejemplo, ya pues tengo que empezar a dejar de comer lo que normalmente como, tomar más agua, caminar más, prepararme físicamente. Y sí es un trabajo que la gente pensaría que es fácil, pero no, montar a caballo y cantar es como...
Challenging.
It's a little challenging. Mm-hmm. To do it right. Porque you can go out and sing like this yeah. and nobody will enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. You
know? Yeah, like, I was just thinking about that just now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to like really teach your whole body to. Yeah, tampoco es rocket science, pues, pero tienes
it takes
que,
practice, dedication.
It takes practice and dedication, like everything. Y hay gente que no puede, pero toda mi familia sí ha podido tomar práctica, pero se puede. Entonces, dos meses antes, mes y medio antes, te empiezas a preparar. Because it is very physically demanding.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's pretty crazy too, because like you have to practice and then like the horse has to practice too.
Yes.
You know?
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Los caballos también. Imagínate, yo peso 242 libras. O sea, pobre animal, cabrón. Pues imagínate nada más, ¿no? O sea, tiene que ser un caballo fuerte.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to be bigger than normal. Y tienes que ensayarlos porque el ruido y las luces y the different configuration del show. So, yeah, it's like I said, it's not rocket science. We're not curing cancer. It's just a show. But it takes some mm-hmm. skills and dedication to make it happen in a nice way.
Yeah, wow. I feel that's to the show a lot. Fueron my parents went to go see José Manuel Figueroa at the a Pico, and like they really enjoyed it. Y eso sí pude ir a verlo, and then how they're like going around in the horse and singing, and it didn't feel like that, how you said, like, que van así.
Like,
yeah, so I think it really adds to the show. It's unique, and I think it's part of the culture, so that's cool.
And what's one thing you want your fans like to take away from like your performances?
Yo creo que lo más importante sería que salieran orgullosos.
Mm-hmm.
That they come out of there with a different vision of their culture, with curiosity, wanting to know more.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that would be, for me, a successful show.
Wow.
Would you say a lot of people discredit what a musician has to do? So I think a lot of people, when they think about a musician, they were like, oh, like, he has a perfect life. He just goes up on stage and performs. Like, would you say people discredit that? And not give credit?
Yeah, I think in lately there's a lot of colleagues, a lot of artists that they haven't like worked a lot to obtain what they have, and a lot of people are starting to disrespect that art form. But I'm an old school artist, and to do what I do, it takes a lot of practice, like what we were talking about right now, a lot of skills, and I think that it's important that your audience understand that, because it's going to have a lot more fun, it's going to appreciate it more, and it's mm-hmm. it's going to give it a totally different experience than just, you know, and it's okay jumping up and down, but hay muchas cosas, no todo es lo mismo. En mi caso, yo soy un artista, que pues la música que haces es como para escucharla más, es como para clavarte más, y eso pues hace que tengas una experiencia diferente en el show. Hay otros artistas que no, hay otros artistas que vas a ir a bailar y lo que menos quieres es que hablen y que se pongan serios y deep. No, lo que quiero es, I want to forget about it, ¿no? Entonces eso pues depende de cada quien. En mi caso, yo quiero hacerte pensar, yo quiero hacerte viajar, yo quiero hacerte sentir orgulloso y quiero dar mi alma entera ahí, dejándote así como que, no manches que alcanzó esa nota ese güey. No manches cómo movió el caballo ese güey. O sea, que si digas, no, pues si vale la pena, si se prepara este cabrón. O sea, si hace algo chido. I don't know if I answered your question, pero...
Yeah. And then you mentioned how, like, what you want the fans to take away from your concert is, like, to really show, like, deep into the tradition of, like, you know, our culture. How do you feel that, like, today's artists who are, you know, like, mainstream, they don't show, like, really that side of it anymore?
That's cool. Para todos sale el sol. No todo el mundo tiene esa misión. No todo el mundo tiene esa visión. Ni esa misión, ni esa visión. Cada quien. Y no todo el mundo la tiene que tener. O sea, yo creo que mientras tú defiendas tu música y defiendas tu concepto lo mejor posible y realmente le tengas respeto a your trade, a tu rollo, seas mexicano, seas londinense, seas de donde seas, who cares. En mi caso, pues yo me he visto de charro, yo ando a caballo, tengo un equipo de charros, tengo una familia que ya es un rollo de 3 generaciones de cantar música mexicana, tengo 30 y tantas producciones de mariachi. In my case, it is important for me to show my traditions and my folklore. And it is important for me to leave you more curious about that stuff after you see my show. It is important. For this new acts, maybe it's a different game that they're playing, because you can play so many different games in this show business. So it's okay. They don't have to. Yo creo que los jóvenes mexicanos o mexicoamericanos o más américo-mexicanos, que están haciendo música en español con charchetas y con docerolas y con tololoches y todo esto, it's freaking amazing. Está buenísimo que lo estén haciendo y es una nueva expresión de la sangre latina adaptada en la ciudad con el idioma de la ciudad y con la vestimenta de la ciudad. Yo me he visto como se vestían en las hacendados hace 200 años. It's a different thing. Yeah.
¿Y cómo, qué siente usted de esa dirección que está tomando la música mexicana? Usted dice que es una... Tú dices que eres un old school artist. What do you think about the new school?
It's cool. I think that evolution is part of the game. It's part of living. Pero I don't see, and I'm not comparing to this man that I'm going to mention right now, but I don't see Bach or Beethoven como que falling behind. they're still alive and well, and their work is still very amazing and admirable. And 200 years from now, it's going to be okay. So mariachi, in a traditional way, is the same thing. I mean, there's always going to be a room for that particular, in my, who am I to know the future? But that's what I think. I think that you're never going to kill flamenco or cumbias or mariachi or banda. You may encounter through your life that new genres appear that are based on that culture but sound tremendously different. You may find that those genres are going to be king when it comes to commercial exploitation and monetization. But there's always going to be room for boleros, for mariachi, mm-hmm. for cumbias, for banda. And that's where a lot of us are going to be.
Yeah, yeah. So, and do you like the direction that Musica Mexicana is going right now? And if not, then like, what's one thing that you would like to change?
I like the direction in a sense that everybody's playing now. That was not a norm. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, everybody's actually playing
now. Oh, like
live
instruments.
You know? Yeah. Everybody's playing their instruments, their drums, the drummers right now, oh my gosh, the guitar players, holy crap. Like the bass players and all these youngsters that are using guitars and instruments like video games now, mm-hmm. that they dedicate the amount of time that yeah. they used to dedicate to video games now to instruments. That is creating a musical panorama or future that it was completely unheard of before in Mexican music. This is totally new. Mm-hmm. So the sky is the limit. I don't know what the heck we're going to be listening to in 10 years. What I can tell you is that it's going to be magnificent. Mm-hmm. Magnificent. Because everything is growing. Everything is it's like trial and error right now. So the lyrics, you might like them, you might not like them. So maybe they need a little bit of retuning or refining here and there. Fine. It's trial and error. But look at these guys playing and look at the way that they're doing and look how they're evolving and at the pace that they're evolving. The music is sounding so different. It's tremendously different than it was sounding 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
The music that Peso Pluma was doing and Junior H and it's sounding different now. It's like the chords progressions are different. The lyrics are different. They're trying to explore more into more poetic kind of and less rebel kind of message. And that's cool. I think being a rebel is part of it. It's mm-hmm. fine. It's part of creating a new genre. But then eventually it's not all about being a rebel. Mm-hmm. You can definitely expand mm-hmm. and talk about love. And talk about deepness and this stuff that we've been talking about for the past hour. You know, I haven't heard that in the new music. Have you guys heard that in the new music yet?
I could definitely see a progression in the what that on the empezó, you know, till now. Like
right?
you're saying, like it's evolving. I think it's evolving. And I guess something that I want to bring up on our Instagram, we put. You know that you were coming on, everybody was excited, and you know what kind of questions do you guys want us to ask? And half I'd say, what do you say, half of the questions?
I'd say like 80%.
80% of the questions were what happened with Nata, you know? It's
yeah.
It's something that we covered.
I don't mean to.
Oh, sorry.
No, can we take like a 5-minute break for him to do a live? Do
oh.
Instagram live.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
Right now.
So oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
5 minutes.
Oh. Yeah, so getting back into it, you know, you say that you like everything that's going on now, but at some point, oh, and then, yeah, like everybody wanted us to ask, you know, about what happened with Nata. I think we all remember that. It was a few years ago, but I think it was a huge deal. It came up on the news, you know. I feel like it was one of the first times that Los Corridos Tumbados salieron, and it was so widespread.
Yeah.
At that point, when you said you didn't really like them, what was it about it that you didn't like?
I don't think I said I didn't like him. I said back then, that, well, there's a video right there. You can see it. I thought that the question that Escorpión Dorado asked me about Corridos Tumbados was about Corridos Verdes. I didn't know what corridos tumbados were. Mm-hmm. Tell you the truth, I didn't know who Natanael was. So, my bad. I should have known a little more about that. Pero when I did that interview with Escorpión Dorado in his car, I was very innocent. It was very innocent. I thought he was talking about Los Corridos Verdes. And I, yo lo que dije back then, no fue que no me gustara. Dije, lo que te acabo de decir ahorita, I believe in artistry. I believe in people that knows, that can play instruments, that can sing, that can write, that can do stuff that it's not normal, you know, and that's why you pay to go see them. Otherwise, why would you? You know, they have to do something. That's what I told Escorpión. And I said, right now, acababa de estar en ese entonces con unos productores que they didn't know how to play. They just use the computer, which is okay, to make notes and everything. But since I'm old school and I learn music and I know how to play five instruments and I write my own songs and produce my own albums and I'm an engineer, you gotta understand where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, when he asked me about Los Corridos Verdes, I didn't have like an opinion. I said, well, you know, el sol sale para todos, but I prefer, you know, like a different type of music. And I remember that I said something about another group or somebody else, Rocío Dúrcal. I don't know what the heck I said. And then a year and a half passed after that interview. And I'm doing a live during the pandemic. And I start seeing like a lot of people in the live asking me about Natanael. And I swear to God, I didn't know who Natanael was. And that was weird. Because I didn't even make the connection. That interview was done a year and a half before, and it was taken completely out of context. And then Natanael and Rancho Humilde bait on that out of context thing and thought that I was speaking bad about him. I wasn't speaking about bad about him. I remember now what I told Escorpión. I told Escorpión that there was only two genres in music that I like. I remember very well. I said, there's only two genres that I know, good one and bad one. In all the different sounds and all the different genres, like cumbias, tumbados, rancheras, there's bad music and good music, you know? That was my point. Won't you guys agree? I mean, in everything, there are good restaurants, bad restaurants, mm-hmm. good singers, bad singers. I was saying that about music. I said there are shitty music and good music. And Natanael got offended because he thought that I was saying that his music was shitty. And actually, there's my answer to then the video that I saw that he did, which I thought it was very disrespectful, but funny. And I even said on another live, I said, man, I don't even know you. I haven't heard one of your songs, but you should get some education because you talk very bad. That's all I said. And then he got beaten up very badly by people in Mexico. And it got blown out of proportion. But I respect all my colleagues, and I don't, I to tell you the truth, I mean, not knowing the guy is not disrespectful to the guy. You just don't know the guy. I haven't heard him sing or does what he does, but yeah, I wouldn't have gone to the path that he went and talk about the same way he did, but the other way around, which I could have done. I could have done and say, hey, pinche chamaco, tarugo, hijo de la tiznada. I didn't say that. Y él sí me dijo, hey, pinche viejo, no sé qué, pen, no sé cuál. Y no sé... Really?
Why didn't you do it?
Because I didn't feel like it. Because I don't think of him that way. I don't know him. Why would I say that? Mm-hmm. It was like, get some education, you escuincle. That's it. And I think he got it now. I think that after a couple of years, he has learned a lot of things. And he's a total reality of his genre. And look at his interviews now, and look at his interviews 3 years ago. You keep on evolving and you learn. And I think he learned a lot about that episode, which to me it was funny.
Yeah, you could definitely see like the growth of him like as an artist. And you mentioned right now, you know, there's good music and bad music. What would you consider bad music?
I don't know, man. We would have to sit down, drink a beer, and listen to about 20 songs mm-hmm. of one genre and say, hey, what do you think is best? Mm-hmm. Who's doing it better in the same genre? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the genre is bad. Like I said, there's only good music and bad music mm-hmm. in all genres. So if we sit down, I can assure you that you are going to tell me, no, this is better than this one. No, this is better. This sounds better than this one. This is cooler than this one. Mm-hmm. This is more exciting. Oh, this you can dance this one better than this one. It's just the nature of the beast. That's the way it is. There are bad things and good things, or not bad or good things. Things that are more universal mm-hmm. and some that are more unique. Yeah. So that's it. Universal, I'm not talking about the brand or the record company. I'm talking about like more people understand it.
Yeah. And then like the music that's like hitting now, like let's just say some of like the mainstream music, is there some music that you look at and you're like how is this even like big? Like how is this artist even famous? Do you ever like think that?
No, I don't. Like I said, I swear to God, man, whatever God you believe, everything is made of the same thing. Mm-hmm. We are all the same thing. We are all different versions of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So when you keep on being in that crust of separation and trying to look your, I'm from the West Coast, I'm from the East Coast, I'm black, I'm white, I'm this, I identify with this, you identify with that, that separation is what we need to work on. Mm-hmm. Everything is God, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, accept it or not, agree with it or not. Everything is God. Everything. The guy that is homeless here in the street and the guy that owns a $100 million house in the hills. Everything is God. Mm-hmm. Nathaniel Cano is God. I am God. Everything. Different versions of God. It's not a God that can make things. And no, you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. We're part of a creation. Yeah. So when you fight somebody, you're fighting yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. And I'm super glad. And as you were talking, I was like, wow, this is crazy. You know, Las Vueltas de la Vida, we actually got to sit down and talk to you about this. I remember when it happened and how it, and you said it blew out of proportion. Siento que fue porque, well, you're a very respected artist since forever. And, you know, so I think that like somebody looking into like this up and coming genre or type of music, however it was categorized, it was a huge deal. I feel it was like the first crazy thing that happened, huh? Mm-hmm. Or what would you guys say?
Like, with this like new generation of music, yeah, it was like big.
Yeah. So it was barely starting off. And now I feel like you're in tune with some of the new stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to ask you, like, then I think since then, like, people still bring it up. Like I feel like it's been years, you know? And then I think that there's like everybody has their own fans, and every time like they hate on each other, and there's always like something that I see, you know, when there's music, there's always like, oh, I like this and I like this, and like there's always like beef and also in between the fans, you know, like the artists could be like best friends, and then like the fans of each other, like they'll really hate on each other. What do you say to that? Like, do you think like all the music should just like coexist? And
yeah, I mean, that's that is not new. That happened before when I was growing up. You used to, if you listen to Bronco, if you listen to El Recodo, oh, you were tacky. Eres un naco, cabrón. O Antonio Aguilar, o música mexicana, ah, che naco. En México. Y de repente, pues pasó y ya todo el mundo se conectó con la tecnología, and then everybody started to listen to everything. And and that thing went away. So the music that you listened to didn't make you anything, good or bad. Yeah. And now that thing returned, like, desde el rap, yo creo, el East Coast, West Coast thing. Y también los de los corridos y acá y el rollo y la, o sea, si te gusta esta música eres no sé qué, y si te gusta esta música eres no sé cuánto. Oh man, I think that's a waste of time. Who cares what you like? Like, I don't give a damn what you like. That's not going to define you. That just gonna show you that you have a very broad musical taste. But that's not gonna make you good or bad. O que te va a hacer de un lado la fregada, in my opinion. Y sí tiene razón, ese escándalo fue de los primeros, de esos de shock news or shock whatever. Ya ahorita es... Todos los días, man. Todos los días todo el mundo se anda echando la madre y todo el mundo se pelea. Todo el mundo se anda retando en redes sociales y qué flojera. Yo uso mis redes sociales para enseñar what's next. Y ahí les va, no para pelearme.
Yeah, a veces they lend themselves to like the chismes y todo eso. Siento que lo hacen porque pues se vende más, you know? I think like it is más, well, generates more numbers. We try to stay away from that. We try to talk about the like the music itself, you know, get to know the artist. But yeah, it was crazy. And then eso de que dice de que si escuchas este eres este tipo de persona. I feel like I noticed that my first few years I lived in Mexico, and I got to live in La Ciudad de México, and then also I got to live in like more like a rancho. So believe it or not, I had to learn English, aunque se me está olvidando el español tantito. And then I would see like a huge difference, like, oh, like, we don't listen to that here, like that, you know? And then I think then from there was like a huge change to listening. Well, like the mainstream artists, the popular ones, like, let's say like the top ones, you know, every week there's a chart, you know, top 10 most listened to artists in Spotify in Mexico. And it used to be like
The Weeknd,
Taylor Swift, reggaeton artists. And now, you know, we see those, and it's a Mexican artist. You know, you see Peso's been number one, most listened to for, like, a long time. Now there's, like, the Mexican artists are listening. The Mexican
people,
like, the mainstream music is for Mexicans. What do you think about that they made that switch? Like, you actually, like, hear those artists in Mexico? We haven't had a chance to go.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, ahorita es una revolución. Creo que fue tan rápido que a todo mundo agarró desprevenido, pero lo apoyó tanto la industria al movimiento que lo hizo grandísimo, rapidísimo. Entonces, ¿quién sabe qué vaya a pasar, man? O sea, ahorita estamos en el nacimiento, apenas en el génesis de todo esto, ¿no? Tiene menos de 5 años, o sea, es 100% nuevo. Who knows what's going to happen? Pero lo que sí creo es que es bueno, 100%. O sea, está buenísimo que surja un nuevo género, que lo hagan jóvenes, que lo hagan mexicanos, que lo hagan descendientes de mexicanos, que la música mexicana en el sonido que sea, vuelve otra vez a ponerse donde debe estar, porque somos los que más somos en este país, y somos los que más somos en México, obviamente, somos 140 millones de mexicanos. O sea, definitivamente tendríamos que ser una force of nature musical, como lo ha sido a través de los tiempos México, y lo dejó de ser durante 20 años de total reinado de la música urbana caribeña, mejor llamada como reggaetón. Entonces, definitivamente creo que es el tiempo de la música mexicana en cualquiera de sus presentaciones.
Awesome. Y ¿qué consejo usted, que tiene esa experiencia, qué consejo le da a los nuevos artistas?
Que se preparen, porque se va a poner muy dura. Ahorita, entre más diferente y estilo le tengas a la voz, eso es lo que pega, ¿no? O sea, como una voz ideal, así, chida para lo norteño, pues la de Chalino Sánchez. Y luego todo el mundo empezó a querer cantar como Chalino. Y luego todo el mundo empezó a querer ahora cantar como canta Peso, como canta... Y imitan ese tipo de voces, ¿no? Entonces, yo lo que creo es que depende de lo que hagas, es lo que te va a costar en un futuro para que te vean. Si cantas, no creo que te vayan a exigir mucho. Si tocas, más te vale que seas tremendamente bueno. Y si eres un grupo, te van a exigir muchísimo también. O sea, te van a exigir. Y donde te van a exigir a madres es en el contenido de tus letras. Yeah. Entonces, si quieres hacer una banda, esa es mi opinión de viejillo. Si quieres hacer una banda, no una banda de una banda, una agrupación, like a band, you should definitely focus on someone that can write. Don't focus on someone that can sing, no problem. Focus on someone that can write, and focus on someone that can play. Because then everything will fall into this place. La voz no necesita ser perfecta, ni afinada, ni acá, ni nada, y la historia no lo enseña. Ve cómo cantaba Janis Joplin. Muchos de estos güeyes que voy a decir, ustedes no los conocen, pero los pueden googlear. Ve cómo cantaba Janis Joplin, ve cómo canta Roger Waters, ve cómo cantan tanta gente, Kim Carnes, ve cómo canta tanta gente que de verdad, pues, son voces distintas. You don't have to be perfection in vocals, pero you do have to be a very good musician. You have to write a very good music. Ahí es donde creo que se deben de clavar.
It was one thing we talked about too, like nowadays, like you don't have to have like that perfect voice to be like famous. It's just like some little, could just like a unique voice, you know. And then the letras are probably like the most important thing that you mentioned.
Something that I give you props for, right now you mentioned your life, no suena like como lo que está de moda. I feel like you kept your own line, your own sound. On another interview you said that that it was only you and somebody else que se vestían así de charro. So I think that's cool that you kept that, you know. A lot of artists try to do, sometimes I keep up with trends, and I think that works too, you know. A lot of times you have to do that.
Oh yeah, or is it like hard, you know, staying with your like artistic roots, but at the same time like adapting to what's like trending right now?
Yeah, in this case it would have been impossible. That's why I returned to the basic and roots of my career. I like tumbados. I like a lot of things that Peso does and de Junior H, y de algunas cosas que oí de Javi me gustan. Y está chido, pues, pero para oírlo, pues. Pero para yo hacerlo, I wouldn't know where to start. So I went to what I know how to do, and I went deeper. And I went all in. I didn't care. Because it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's not trending right now. So I'm going to do what I like.
And would you ever be open to, like, maybe collaborating with, I don't know, like a Fuerza Regida or a Peso Pluma, a Javi?
I was open. I am open. Jimmy, hablaste de Fuerza Regida, cabrón, y ya no me volviste a hablar. ¿Qué onda, güey? Vamos a darle.
De las pilas, awesome. Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Come on, Jimmy.
Awesome. No, mira, aquí lo tengo, el cabrón. Somos amigos. Es puro cuento, hombre, todo el rollo siempre.
FaceTime, on, FaceTime. On.
Te lo juro que somos amigos. Awesome. Te voy a decir que me puso. Aquí está. Jimmy. Pero bueno, el buen Jimmy, aquí está. Me puse, gracias a Dios, cuando sacas algo nuevo, le digo febrero 15, ¿qué viene? Huge fan, bro, me pone. Y ya le puse otras cosas y me manda él un video donde está, pues aquí está el video. A que vean y no anden diciendo que andamos de no sale, mira, te lo estoy apachurando.
Es que nada más se lo mandó para verlo una vez.
Sí, nada más una vez.
Nada más para que lo vea usted.
Y le pongo eso chingado. Abrazo, hermano. Vas a andar en Miami para premio de nuestro. Y ya me puso, sí, sir, allá vamos a andar. Do you play golf? Whatever. O sea, el rollo así es. De repente la gente cree que you said it right now. Hay gente que they have a beef, la fregada. Y no, hombre, we're playing golf. Mm-hmm. And talking about business. So, don't believe everything you hear.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Al contrario.
Thank you, gracias, man. And thank you to all the fans watching to the end.
Thank you, guys.
Sí. Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Invítelos to the tour.
Claro que sí, a toda la gente, a los tres que se quedaron hasta el final de este podcast.
3 millones.
Exactamente. Los invito a que vayan a esta nueva gira que se llama Jaripeo Hasta los Huesos. It's going to be all across the country. Empezamos el 29 de marzo. Ah, that's cool, man. 29.
En Anaheim.
En Anaheim, 29 y 30, y luego de ahí agarramos monte para todos lados.
Awesome.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys. To the whole team that came.
Let's go eat some tacos.
Shout out to Gordo.
Tacos on Pepe.
Yeah.